Alhamdulillah, praise be to Allah. With Allah's grace, Allah's blessings, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has, in this great month, in this great last third of Ramadan, these great 10 days, in this great moment, this great time, Allah ta'ala has to us given us for His remembrance, for His dhikr, for remembering Him. In Allah has gathered us here, assembled us here. Apart from dhikrullah, there's no objective in my mind at this moment in time. It's not in my mind, it's not in my thinking. Allah ta'ala has solely, purely for His remembrance, Allah has gathered us, assembled us and sat us down here for His remembrance. Now time in the whole day, we can consider that this time now, right now, this hour we're sitting in here now, is the essence, is the real beneficial time of the whole day. Allah has preferred this time for His dhikr. The Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam has stated himself that after Salatul Asr, if a group of people, a jamaat, is immersed in the dhikr of Allah, the remembrance of Allah, then I prefer, said the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that this is beloved to me, that I go and sit with those people who are sitting, who have solely gathered to remember Allah. So imagine now yourself the blessing of this action, that how blessed this objective must be, this gathering must be, and how much Allah's attention must be on this gathering, how many mercies of Allah must be descending on this gathering. Now we shouldn't be worried about the fact that if, for example, we're doing an action and people, mostly lots of people, aren't doing that action, or there's less people doing the action, or there's not many people doing what we're doing now. We should not be concerned about that, about quantity, because this is one of the signs of the Day of Judgment. The sign of Qiyamah, that deen will start to decline, practice will reduce, the rightly guided scholars will reduce, diminish. This is the sign of the Day of Judgment, the end of time, that people's hearts will be detached from those deeds, those actions, they'll go far away from those deeds. And on top of that, other actions, the human beings will run after other things, worldly things, they'll have enjoyment in the luxuries and the glow and the glitter of the dunya. And we will consider that that is deen, where there's attraction. So we, knowing this knowledge that we just discussed, such negative whispers and thoughts and doubts in our minds and our hearts, there's only one way to do that, is that what does Allah say and what does Allah's Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam say about this, what we're doing? So for this reason, the Quran and the verses of the Quran and the hadith, we remind ourselves of the Quran. And I've just read the Quran to you in the beginning. And in the hadith as well, the Holy Prophet, the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, has preferred that and said that the dhikr of Allah, the remembrance of Allah, is a great deed. This is such a gathering right now, this gathering, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has, for this majlis in the hadith, Allah has given us the meaning of this hadith to tell us the greatness of this action of dhikr. For this gathering that we have established right now, alhamdulillah for his remembrance, Allah Ta'ala has selected a group of special angels to witness this gathering of dhikrullah. And Allah has given them a task, a duty. Just one duty Allah Ta'ala has given to them. That your task is this, O angels, that go to the world, planet Earth, descend to planet Earth, and just do one task. Your duty is to do one action, O angels, Allah tells them, is that just look for one thing in the world, just seek one thing, that where are the human beings sat and doing my dhikr, remembering me? Go and find them. Are they in England? Are they in Gujarat, India? Are they in Bangladesh? Are they in America, USA? Are they in New York? Are they... wherever they are, it's your job, O angels. Allah has instructed them. Any part of the world, any portion of the world, you see people, human beings, and there'll be many people gathered in crowds around the world. Leave all of them. Where you see people just sat purely for this purpose that they're doing my dhikr, Allah says, that due to my love they're sat down. Because remember, you remember somebody where you have love for somebody. You will do dhikr of that person who you love, that person, isn't it? You'll remember that person. Otherwise, without love, you will not remember anybody. Why would you remember someone if you don't love them? So we don't care. We don't realize this. But we have immense love for Allah. That's why we sat here, for his dhikr. When we do dhikr, when we remember Allah, then Allah himself is the witness that this is my beloved servant. She is my beloved servant. And they are remembering me. They're doing my dhikr. And then those angels, when they get the instruction from Allah, obviously we believe this, the angels, they're flying around, they're swirling around, they're traveling around the earth. And when one angel went past Bolton, he said, stop, 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 my colleagues, look here, what's going on here? This is the task that Allah Ta'ala sent us for, to see this gathering. So he immediately stops with the brakes on. They're looking around the world. He's got the duty. Allah's given the duty. So eager. Imagine how happy that angel is then. Oh, I'm going to give the report now to Allah, because I've seen what Allah Ta'ala told me to find. So suddenly he's alert. And they see a jamaat in Masjid Zakariya in Bolton after Asr and Ramadan, sat doing dhikr of Allah. He says, what country is this? He said that this is the country of those who don't even believe in Islam. Lots of other sins are happening here. What is this group of people doing here? And then he shoots and he calls out loud, quickly, my colleagues, angels, angels, come, come, I found that gathering, I found that. I'm telling you, this is the meaning of the hadith. He says to all the angels in the world, planet Earth, because the earth to the angels, you know, it's like a small ball that we bounce up and down on the ground. It's nothing for them, planet Earth, for the angels. So he says, quickly, my colleague, quickly, I found it, the gathering. They'll say, where are you? He says, I'm in Bolton, UK. Come quickly, quickly, come here now. And he says, they ask him, did you find the gathering? How? How did you find it? Who's there? He says, yeah, it's here, the gathering's here, they're remembering Allah. So, subhanAllah, the angel was saying, I was in an Islamic country, Muslim country, looking for the gathering, I thought I'd find it. He goes, no, I found it here in Europe, UK. All the angels in the millions, they change their direction, their flight path, and they come. What a beautiful hadith this is, huh? This is how we should understand it. And when all the angels, they change their direction, because that's their task Allah gave them, to find the gathering of dhikr. So they all come to Bolton. And due to this jamaat, see the mercies, how many mercies will come to Bolton for this gathering. You are sat here now. And imagine the storm, the rahmah, the mercy of Allah that's coming to this town. So all the other angels, when they start flying and they're coming, Allah Akbar, in the hadith it says, all of the space between the heavens and the earth is filled with the angels. Yes, now you can understand where you are sat. This is not some minor gathering. This is not a minor action. If you have belief in Allah and His Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, as I said to you, don't ever look at quantity. How big is this crowd? It's just me. Is it just me who wears the imamah? And who wears the sunnah libas? Nobody else is doing it. Why do I do it? And the sister, don't ask yourself, is it only me who wears niqab? Where's the parda, hijab? Oh, they joke at me, they mock me. Why should I have to wear this? Oh, everyone shaves their beard, trims their beard. If I shave my beard, trim my beard, what difference does it make? No, don't follow your negative thoughts. Follow the Quran and hadith wherever you are, whatever you are doing. What does the Quran say? What does the hadith say about your practice? And if you follow the people, then your deen will, you'll just evaporate. If you follow the people, it will slowly and quickly evaporate from your life. So now we can see what's happening around us. You know what's going on in the world around us. What we need to see and determine is the hadith of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam and the Quranic verses and the Holy Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam's blessed statements. What are they telling about this practice that we're doing? What a great deed it is to wear the imamah, the blessed turban. What a great deed it is to imitate the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. What a great action is the sunnah, to follow the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam's sunnah. How? Look at those Sahaba who loved the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The Sahaba, they distributed the task amongst themselves, the duty. One Sahabi, obviously they were poor, they were miskeen, they were laborers, hard workers. So one Sahabi said to the other Sahabi, if I'm late, if I don't get to the gathering, then we will share with each other what we heard the Prophet ﷺ say on each day. Because they loved the deen, they loved Allah and His Rasul ﷺ. They didn't want to miss out any statements. So when this happened, that one companion didn't come to the gathering and the other one was in the gathering, then it said, what did the Prophet ﷺ say today? Whatever they heard, immediately they put it into practice. Immediately, no other proof did they need it. One Sahabi was coming, he met the other companion. I'm telling you, this is a hadith now, I'm sharing with you. He said, As-salamu alaykum wa sallam, where are you coming from? He said, I'm coming from the Prophet ﷺ, the gathering. Immediately, he had the wood on his head. He put it down on the ground. He said, what did the Prophet ﷺ say today? What did you hear in the gathering? He said, the Prophet ﷺ said today that whoever's got the garment, the clothes that are below the ankles, the dhoti, because obviously the Sahaba had the fashion of dhoti, not trouser and what we wear today in Dusajuda. Look at our prostration today, what the clothes we're wearing. We are imitating those people and we're prostrating wearing their clothes. The Prophet ﷺ said, man tashabba biqawmin fahuwa minhum. You will be with the people who you imitate in the hereafter. But we don't care. We say everything is permissible. We can wear what we want, do what we want. We are prostrating to Allah, sajda. And who are we imitating? Whose clothes are we wearing at that time? Think for yourself what attire and clothes you are wearing. O servant of Allah, at least slave of Allah, at the time of salah, please improve your clothing, your attire, improve your condition, your appearance. So the sahaba, going back to this example, he said to the other sahabi, he said, the Prophet ﷺ said that your clothing, your izar of your dhoti, if your clothes are hanging below your ankles, then that will burn in hell. And they're wearing torn, tattered clothes. So he put the whole stack of wood on the ground, and he took his izar, he went to the side, and he ripped that cloth that was below the ankles at that time. The other companion said, why are you rushing? Why are you in haste? You could have at least gone home. And then as he said, amazing, my companion, you're saying this to me, that wait until I get home. But who can wait? How can I wait? That the Holy Prophet says some message is coming to me, and I delay until I go to house, and then I practice. How can I guarantee that I won't die on the way? I've heard the message. Allah will ask me, that didn't you practice? Say subhanAllah. So now let's look at ourselves, our iman, our deen. From morning until night, we say, Atiullah, Atiur Rasul, Atiullah, Atiur Rasul. We keep on talking about sunnah. Oh, no, no, it's not necessary. Oh, no, no, I don't have to do it. It's not necessary. I can live my life without sunnah. I don't care about that. Look at the sahaba, what they did. Do you understand the difference? So let's compare our iman, our belief, our faith. We are all going to die. When we'll go to the grave and it will be asked of us, Man Rabbukum. That only that person will answer, Man Rabbuka, who obeyed Allah, Man Rasuluka. Only that person will answer who practiced the sunnahs of the Prophet ﷺ, who valued the imamah, the blessed turban, who valued the beard, who valued the clothing of the deen, Islamic clothing. And in our hearts we say, I'm a believer. But you cannot imagine a Muslim, even minus 0.1%, that the Sahaba practiced and the Prophet ﷺ instructed something, we don't do it. Hazrat Abdullah bin Umar radiallahu anhu, what a great companion he was. What a great companion, Abdullah bin Umar. He is the lover of the sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ. He's got his title. He was walking one day and he had some colleagues with him, and he went past some place, then he came back to where he was, and there was a tree. He went back to that tree and he rubbed his body on that tree, his chest. And the Sahaba who asked him, they said, oh, Hazrat Abdullah bin Umar, what have you done here? We walked past this tree, you came back and you touched your body on the tree. Why did you do that? He said, no, it's nothing. Now we'd say, oh, sunnah muakkada, wajib, and not necessary, we've got terminology. But the Sahaba, did the Prophet ﷺ do this? Yes, end of story. That's enough proof. There was no doubt, no hesitation. Just imitate the Prophet ﷺ, that's the end of story. No, think about it. Is it necessary? Is it important? What category of a practice is it in? And is it necessary for us? Or is it in this day and age? Do we need to do it? If the Prophet ﷺ said, if Allah has ordered, قُلْ إِن كُنْتُمْ تُحِبُونَ اللَّهَ فَتَابِيُونِي يُحَبِّبْكُمُ اللَّهِ. Allah says in the Quran, Surah Al-Imran. And the Prophet ﷺ said, Mu'adh, Allah says, you can't find me in salah, in sujood, in prostration, in tawaf. You can't find me around the Kaaba. If you want my love, Allah says, O Muslim, you'll only get it through one action. Follow the Prophet ﷺ. That's it. That's the only way. And following the Prophet ﷺ, Allah says that if you do that, then I will start to love you, Allah says. That your face, appearance, lifestyle, if you follow and imitate the Holy Prophet ﷺ, Allah says, end of story. Then see how much I start to love you, Allah says. because you have loved the Prophet Muhammad, who I love, Allah says. If you follow him, then I will start loving you, Allah says. The whole, this verse of the Quran is so powerful in the Quran. And we need this. That any thing in our life should be away from the Prophet. لَقَدْ كَانَ لَكُمْ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ أُسْوَةٌ حَسَنًا. Allah said, I gave you a role model, the best of role models. And such a role model that nothing ever hidden of the Prophet ﷺ's life. 124,000 prophets. Tell me, is there any prophet whose life was in detail? How did he cut his nails? How did he go to the toilet? How did he urinate? How did he take the shoes off? How did he wear the shoes? How did he wear clothes? How did he go to sleep? How did he eat food? How did he lift his fingers in salah? Personal habits, personal lifestyle with his wives. SubhanAllah, Allah preserved that. Allah collated that and made it such a great ilm, knowledge, which is called the ilm of the hadith. And Allah Ta'ala made the protectors of the hadith, the a'imma, the scholars, Imam Malik, Imam Abu Hanifa, the jurists, Imam Shafi, Imam Malik, Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal, Imam Shafi, just to preserve and protect one thing, that no action of my Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam should be remain hidden from the Muslimin. Allah said, I want to preserve it and spread it. So what answer will we give to this, my brothers, my colleagues, in the Day of Judgment? Allah will say, Madabukum, how can you say you could not practice on the sunnah? Remember this point, my colleagues. If you want success, my colleagues, if you want success, there's only one methodology of life, that you must associate yourself and attach yourself to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, who's after Allah in his kalam and the Quran, is Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam's lifestyle. The more you give your life for the sunnah, man ahabba sunnati fa man ahabbani wa man ahabbani kana ma'iya fil jannati. What else do we need? I love the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. I love Allah. I'm crying. I go on marches, conferences. I read nasheeds. There are tears. This is all istidraj. This is a miraj. It's a dream. The real proof, if you are a lover of Allah and his Rasulullah, is that person who loves the sunnah. He can claim that he loves Allah. How? Eating, drinking, standing, sitting, walking, meeting people, communication, everything. What did the Prophet do here? How did he sleep? How did he lie down? How did he toss and turn in the bed? What hand did he use under his head? How did he stand? How did he wake up? How did he drink water? Did he sit down and drink? Did he stand and drink? How did he walk? What was his lifestyle? What was his methodology? What was his habits? What was his nature? Is there any knowledge of the Prophet ﷺ's life that has not reached to us, that we are not aware of? For which purpose? Because Allah said, give you all your life for the sunnah. This is the path there. Then as sirat al-mustaqeem. We read this in Surah Fatiha. This is the definition of sirat al-mustaqeem, following the Prophet ﷺ's sunnah. Hazrat Aisha Sadiqa radiallahu anha was asked by a companion, that what was the akhlaq, the conduct of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam? She said, what's his akhlaq? His conduct, his manners, his whole lifestyle was the Quran. His whole life was the Quran. He was a walking, talking Quran. Walking, talking Quran. He was the tafsir of the Quran. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam's lifestyle was the commentary of the Quran. That without his lifestyle, you cannot understand the Quran. And today's believer, how can he say that sunnah, I will leave the sunnah, I will understand the Quran? Then we should say we haven't understood anything yet. We haven't even understood 0.1%. A person leaves the sunnah of the Prophet and he says he's following the Quran, then look at the Muslim ummah today. What is the Quran telling us? And what is the ummah doing today? The Quran is telling us this point. One Quran is that which is, you read the Quran to follow the Prophet, and the other Quran is read to leave the Prophet. And one Quran, when you read it to follow the Prophet, will give you guidance, and the other one will take you to misguidance, deviation. And that's why there are two groups in the world today. Two groups. Otherwise the Quran is one. Alif, Lam, Mim, Dhalika, Al-Kitabu, Lai, Raiba, Fi, up to Surah Nas is one message. Hidayah, guidance, Shifa, cure, Noor, light, guidance for the Muslims. So why do Muslims read the Quran and why are they deviating? Why do they go from the right to the left? Why don't they understand what is deen? That because after leaving the Sunnah of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, when you look at the Quran, touch the Quran will not guide you. Do you understand the point? So this is the unique point. So we've gone off track on the topic. I'll come back to the topic. Otherwise you have to do dhikr as well. So I'll come back to this hadith, that this companion, the angel, so the angel shouted, all the other angels, all the angels in the millions, billions, trillions, all gathered in Baltimore. It was this time after Asr. That's what's happening now. Somebody's doing this action, somebody's doing this action. But Allah says, I like this time Asr to Maghrib for my dhikr. The Prophet ﷺ said, I prefer that you do dhikr after Asr, after Maghrib. I prefer to sit with those believers who are doing dhikr from Asr to Maghrib. What amal are you doing? They're crushing their desires, because when you do dhikrullah, you're crushing your desires. You're following the Prophet ﷺ. Come. So the angels call out. He calls all the other angels. They come. This gap from here to the heavens is filled with the angels right now where we are sitting. Imagine your position. So if somebody just comes and sits down, he doesn't know what's dhikr. Today we don't even understand what is dhikr, do we? We don't care. We say we don't realize what it is. But that person who listens to dhikr, in such places, for example, those people are reverts. They're coming to Islam new. They're fresh into the deen. They've entered into Islam new, recently, a woman. And by chance, mashallah, because these things today, the media, social media, technology. So, mashallah, she connected to a majlis, a gathering, wherever she was, the sister. When she heard, she said, this is a great action. What deen is this? And then she put it on in her house. She said, the situation is that when my children are playing, then they are doing dhikr of Allah at the same time. They're reciting it. Amazing majlis. She said, I connect to it. I joined online. This is the dhikr of Allah, the remembrance of Allah. So the angel, he sees this gathering, Bolton dhikr, he calls out all the other angels. They all come, they gather, they assemble, and they climb up to the heavens and witness this gathering. Then they give, after the gathering finishes, they rise up, and they go to who? To Allah who sent them. This is the hadith. They go back to Allah. They go back to Allah to present the report, what they've seen, that what they've witnessed. So Allah says, did you find that group of people? They say, yes, Allah. Allah says, tell me, where did you find them? Listen now, how beloved. Allah says, tell me the story. What did you see? Although Allah already knows. These will be us, me and you will be mentioned, my brothers, by name. Do dua to the walis of Allah. Do dua to Azal Ali Murtaza, my sheikh, who taught me, who made this dead barren land alive. Otherwise, how would we do dhikr? Darvesh, wali Allah sat in Garai Sharif, thousands of miles away in a village in Pakistan, my sheikh, and he gives the instruction to another darvesh, go to the UK and revive the zikr of Allah from the whole world. People come here and they learn zikr and they depart. Imagine my sheikh, his instruction, his vision. This is zikr of Allah. Remember, Allah. This is the shan, the glory of dhikr of Allah. So the angels go back to Allah. Allah says, who was there in that gathering? What people were there? What are their names? Tell me their names. What were they doing? What were they saying? So the angels feed back to Allah. The Allah, we passed by this masjid, and in Bolton there were believers sat there doing your dhikr, Allah. Allah says, is it? They were doing my dhikr. They say, yes, Allah, they were doing your dhikr. Allah says, okay, tell me more. Allah's proud of the gathering. Proud. Allah's proud. Al-Mullah Qari Rahmatullah said, what is this meaning that Allah is proud when he hears about the people who are remembering him? Mullah Qari says that Allah is telling the angels, you see these people, they've gathered right now, and there are three things that have overwhelmed. They had nafs, they had their desires, they had shaitan, they had their own base desires, carnal desires. And they were filled with the desires of their own inner self. Shaitan was influencing them. Mullah Ali Qari Rahmatullah does a tafsir on this point. Why is Allah proud on the people remembering him? That Allah says that this human being, shaitan was influencing him, his desires were influencing him, he had desires inside him. All three forces were saying, how dare you go to do dhikr of Allah? So these are the three forces that stop a human being doing dhikr of Allah. Remember this. These three forces, when you stop doing a good deed, then these three things will be inside of you that stop you doing a good deed. If you stop these three things, then you will go towards goodness, then mashallah, goodness. So try always to oppose these three forces. Whenever you start to practice sunnah, when you don't feel like doing it, then these three forces are stopping you. Your nafs, your desires, shaitan, and your lust. The things that are attracting you well. When you remove these three things, then immediately you will start to travel towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Immediately you start to follow the sunnah. So what a great mirror. We've been given it as a sign. You are not wrong. You want to practice Islam, but what's stopping you from practicing Islam? Your iman is inviting you to practice Islam. And you want to, but the Prophet ﷺ has told us through the hadith that there are three forces that always stop you practicing Islam from everything. Either it's your own desires, or shaitan, or the attractions, your base desires. No, don't do this. So what's the point of doing this? What's the benefit of doing this? So whoever fights these three forces and controls his life, then he starts to practice the deen of Islam. So, he said, okay, so when he overcomes and controls these three forces, then it's easier for him to practice the deen. And sunnah practice is easier for him then. So he said that Allah is proud when he hears the angels' feedback about the gathering of dhikr. Allah is proud. Allah says, I'm proud of this, of the believers, for this reason, that this servant of mine who's come to dhikr, he has controlled those three forces that are opposing him. So he's successful in his objective of life. Do you understand what I'm saying? So who is there who sits in after Fajr, sitting in Ramadan, he's got to fast 1 and 1.5 hours? How can a small child sit? Because the child has controlled his nafs. Even the elders can't do this. This sat here 1.5 hours doing dhikr of Allah, this young child, we run off to our beds, our mattresses, and then will Ramadan come again? Is there a guarantee the beds will come again? Your sleep will come again? Well, will Ramadan come again? There's no guarantee. So think for a moment, what are you losing? So the morning of dhikr, the spring of the morning dhikr, will you be able to loot the treasures again in your life? Can you guarantee that? Oh, I'm feeling sleepy, I want to go to bed at home. Forget about sleep, drowsiness. These three things are fighting you. Shaitan, your nafs, or your desires, your attractions, they are stopping you from going there. Your ego, or shaitan, or your desires. So you have to fight them, oppose them, so you can complete this action nicely. And follow this sunnah, this amal. So look here, that for example, that when everyone's sleepy, drowsy, then suddenly they're alert, then he starts to get enjoyment from the action. And his situation changes, and he starts to have respect and regard for that deed. If you're not practicing sunnah, but when you overcome shaitan, your ego and the desires, then that sunnah becomes your life. You love it to the highest, and you start to love that deed. You don't want to leave it. Ask a person who wears imamah and tell him, leave the house without imam. He goes, no way. How can I leave my house without the blessed turban? Because that turban's become beloved for him. He'll give his life for it. Do you understand what I'm saying? So Allah says, I'm proud of these believers, because this servant, he has done the action that's given him success. He's controlled the three evil forces against him. So I'm proud of him. I'm happy with him. So it teaches them to sit there and do dhikr when all the people in the world are enjoying themselves, running after the dunya and worldly attractions. He sat in Allah's house doing dhikr. He's controlled the shaitan and his ego and his desires. So Allah Ta'ala, when the angel feeds back and gives the report to Allah that these people are doing dhikr, they are like the CID, the angels there to give the complete report. They say, Allah, but there's something we've got to tell you, Allah. Allah says what? That there was one person who came to the gathering, he didn't want to come to dhikr, Allah. He had no intention, because they want to feed back everything. He just sat there, he was just walking past, he thought, what's going on here? Let me see what's going on here, let me sit down and listen to this. And he had no intention, Allah, to do dhikr. He didn't want to remember you. He just joined that gathering, just by the way, let me see what's going on here, what's going on here, what's happening here? What are these people doing? What's these people reciting? So, what's this man sitting here doing dhikr? So morning and evening, he calls people to dhikr. Okay, let me just sit here for today and witness this. So what's your order for this person? Should we take his name out of the list, Allah, or include it? They have to ask Allah. Should we take his name out of the list who are remembering you, Allah, or should we cut his name? Or should we include it? Subhanallah, what does Allah say? Allah says that Allah says that the reward for this gathering is that nobody will lose out from this reward. Doesn't matter what intention he had. Allah says that it cannot be that a person comes to this gathering and he does not benefit. However he came, whatever his intention came, just by chance he came, include his name in the list of the people, Allah says, and include him in that result that the people will get. And after including him in the list, Allah says, listen, I'm announcing I've forgiven each and every person in that gathering. Each and every person in the gathering. So he's also forgiven, the person who had no interest in that deed, in the gathering. The person who came without intention, just sat down, he was walking past. So imagine that person who has the niyyah, the intention, he thinks that dhikr of Allah is so beloved. And they sit every day in all the gatherings. Imagine their forgiveness and what will be their maqam, their status in Jannah. What will be the qurb, the nearness of Allah they will attain. So today we may not realize this whilst we're living on earth. And we may not value this. And we see a person that when we see a millionaire driving in a big car with his personal nameplate, we say, oh, amazing, he's got a car with his nameplate. He's enjoyed his money. He's made money. He's got three buildings here in England. He's got a Rolls Royce. He's got a big car. He's got assets in other countries. Don't look at that. Look at that person who says, Subhanallah, Subhanallah. He sits in morning dhikr, evening dhikr. He is the wealthiest person. Every day he gets one hajj, one umrah reward in the morning gathering. When he goes in the grave, he'll have no car, no house, no money. But when this faqir goes in the grave, he'll take the hajj and the umrah in the grave with him. So you should be envious of that person, proud of that person. You understand the comparison I'm giving? Don't look at that person and hang your tongue out and look at his buildings, his cars, his money, his cash. Even then he won't get it when he goes into the grave. He'll have nothing with him. Foolish people we are. Look at that person who is earning for the hereafter. Do istighfar, say Allah forgive me. Just like you've given azab to that person who's got the wealth of the dunya. And you've kept him in a challenge. Allah, take me away from that test. Allah, seek forgiveness from the glitter and the glow of the dunya, from the wealth of the dunya. Allah, don't put me in that test, Allah. Please don't put me in that test. This is azab, punishment. When Allah gives masses and masses of wealth to a person, very few people are there in the world who pass the test of amassing wealth. When they have money and wealth and they have riches and luxuries and they have iman and they have belief and they have sadqa at the same time and salah and dhikr and they don't go towards haram. There are very few people who pass the test of wealth. Because that's the thing. Soon, as a person gets money, straight away they get big cars, personal number plates, their children go off the track, and their brains start to expand with the dunya. This is a test, this is azab. The azab, look at Fir'aun, Qarun. They failed in this test of wealth. So it's not a good thing to desire lots of money. It's not a good thing to desire wealth, because a person deviates with money and wealth. It's Dajjal. It's the quality of Dajjal. If a person in his heart has that desire for money and wealth, then he's greedy. Take that out of your heart. Why am I, what have I got desire for wealth and money? Why do I take loans? Why do I go into debt? Why do I have to change my lifestyle? If Allah has kept me like this, poor or with not much money, I should be content and satisfied. Why should I be worried about the next day how much thousands I've got? This foolish person stuck in a test in the mud of wealth. If Allah has given, defined wealth and money as a test, as azab and punishment, why do you have desire for that? That be content on the money and the wealth Allah has given to you. Whatever you've got, say Alhamdulillah and utilize those funds that Allah has given to you. That's the most precious, the best person is that person who lives his life totally satisfied at peace, just like Allah and His Rasul have advised us. Your children are like this, your wife's like this, your house is like this. This is the deen. This is the human being who has got Jannah, paradise in the earth when he's content with what Allah has given to him. That's the life we should live. These are all tests in the world. Money, wealth, children, family. These are all examinations for us. So my colleagues, my brothers, Allah Ta'ala has given us this ability for a short while in this great month that we are sat in a gathering. That Allah is proud in the heavens of us. The angels are returning as witnesses with our name. This is the last Ashra of Ramadan. Is this a minor deed that we come for a short while and say the name of Allah? We should be grateful to Allah for this. We should be grateful to Allah. These are the treasures that Allah Ta'ala has given to us. Try, make effort. This ashra is more or less gone. That any gathering of dhikr of Allah, don't leave it, don't discard it, attend it. Every moment, subhanAllah, in Masjid Zakari, if this is what's happening him, it's not just once. Whenever there's a majlis, a gathering, angels will come, they'll gather, they'll witness, they'll go back to Allah. Allah will say the same. Every gathering of dhikr, the same scene takes place. All the gatherings you go to, the same witness, the same story will be repeated and Allah will be proud of you. Nothing different. So why do we leave this gathering? Why do we not give it value? That Allah says, this gathering is my beloved deed, the dhikr of Allah. And we discard it, we shun it. Inshallah, we should say. We will do this ongoing. So we'll do dhikr for a short while now, for the purpose that we are gathered, the remembrance of Allah. We'll do that now. So control yourself. Keep, you're started coming towards dhikr of Allah. You're remembering Allah now. Inshallah. With lots of love and focus. Sit down. Concentrate. The amount Allah gives us tawfiq. Be proud that you're sat here. That this is a great reward Allah has given to us now. We are remembering Him. That same scene I just described to you in the hadith, put that in your mind. Angels are around us, they spread their wings, they're writing our names, they're going to go back to Allah, they're going to give the rapport, Allah will hear our name, Allah will be proud of each and every one of you. Totally, that's the scene that's happening right now. And after the majlis ends, we'll all be forgiven. Allah will announce that. It's a fact. It's a fact. In the last ashra, last third of Ramadan. Alhamdulillah. Recite the Rushdie.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين الصلاة والسلام على سيد المرسلين شفيع المرسلين اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم اللهم ربنا ظلمنا أنفسنا وإن لم تغفر لنا وترحمنا لنكونن ربنا لا تزغ قلوبنا بعد إذ هديتنا اللهم اهدنا الصراط المستقيم اللهم اهدنا الصراط المستقيم اللهم استقبلنا بسنته ونفعنا بمحبته وشنا في سنته اللهم أعنا على ذكرك وشكرك وحسن عبادتك لا إله إلا الله نستغفر الله ونسألك الجنة ونعوذ بك من النار اللهم أجرنا من النار اللهم أجرنا من النار اللهم أجرنا من النار يا مجيب يا رب يا بلاد اللهم ادخلنا جنة على بلاد يا رحم الراحمين يا رحم الراحمين ربنا تقبل صيامنا قيامنا تقبل صيامنا يا الله تمہارے گناہوں کو معاف فرما یا اللہ ہم پہ فضل خاص فرما یا اللہ آخرت شرح ہمیں برکتوں والا برکت کے ساتھ نصیب فرما یا اللہ ہمیں للۃ القدر نصیب فرما یا اللہ ہمیں سچی معافی نصیب فرما یا اللہ رمضان میں سچی توبہ نصیب فرما یا اللہ ہمیں تقوی نصیب فرما یا اللہ ہمیں متقی بنا یا کریم ہمیں پاک اور صاف کر دے گناہوں سے میرے مولا تو اپنے دین پہ چلنے والا بنا دین کا دائی بنا اے کریم تمہارے اولادوں کو ان کی اولادوں کو سب کو نیک اور صالح بنا یا اللہ امت پہ رحم فرما یا اللہ امت پہ رحم فرما یا اللہ امت پہ رحم فرما وصلی اللہ تعالیٰ علی خیر خلقہ محمد وعلی صحابہ اجمعین رحمتک یا رحم العالمین سبحان ربک رب العزت عما یصفون السلام علیکم و رحمۃ اللہ